Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma is daf Vav. A lengthy discussion that's taken our attention from the beginning of the Masechta has been the Hafreshes Kohen Gadol. Before Yom Kippur, 7 days prior, the Kohen goes into a seclusion, into sequestering. And that Kohen Gadol, it will be there until Yom Kippur, until he does the Avodas Yom HaKippur. And how do we know this? Menahan Emili, from where do we know this from? So the Gemara spent most of the last week discussing this issue, and basically two approaches in the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says we learn it from the Miluim, by the inauguration of the Mishkan in the Midbar. So 7 days prior, Aaron HaKohen and his sons were sequestered, and so from there we learn out that the Yom Kippur, the same thing happens. Maybe because the Gemara suggested, because that's the first time the Beis HaMikdash was put into operation here too also. It's a first of sorts. It's not exactly a first because Yom Kippur happens every year, but it's a first of sorts in the sense that it's a Kohen Gadol, it's a Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, that's one mahalach. Another mahalach of the Gemara of Reish Lakish is that we learn from Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was also, you had Yemei HaFrasha, 6 days of HaFrasha prior to having a one-on-one with the Shekhinah, and so in order to be prepared for such a moment of Kedusha, so therefore he went through HaFrasha as well. The Gemara notes that's 6 days, it's not 7 days. The requirement of Yom Kippur is 7 days if the prototype, if the whole basis is learned from Sinai, so why not just 6 days, why not 7 days? So the Gemara says, well, because of Timas Beisel. Happens to be that today's Daf Vav, we're going to be discussing in great detail exactly what that means, Timas Beisel. So stay tuned for today's Daf in order to gain an understanding of what that means, Timas Beisel. Another big issue that comes up that came up in yesterday's daf was by the Meluim. Everything mentioned by the Meluim, was it necessary or was it not necessary? Meaning, we know that there are certain things that are involved in Avoda, Snicha, Tanufa, Hafrasha, certain things that are not Ma'akev. They're just simply not essential. The mitzvahs, they're absolutely part of the Avoda, but they're not essential. So the Gemara wonders, by the Meluim, are all these things going to have the regular rules of mitzvah but not essential, or maybe by the meluim they're all going to be essential, because the Torah says the word kacha when describing the meluim, so perhaps it's all essential. To which the Gemara yesterday, it was most of yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought down a machlokas amarayim, whether it's essential, whether it's not essential, and then the Gemara went on to discuss the dressing of Aaron and his sons. Sukkim are kind of mixed about, a little confusing about how exactly Moshe dressed Aaron and his sons. We have two pesukim that are that discuss this topic. One pasuk says Vayechor Oso Ba'avneit, that he dressed him, meaning him Aaron. Moshe is dressing Aaron. This is during the Meluim. And the other pasuk says Vechagarta Osam, and he dressed them, meaning Aaron and his sons. So what exactly was the order of the dressing? To which the Gemara yesterday started that discussion by asking, okay, meaning why are we even discussing it? Maida hava hava. The Gemara said yesterday, it may be interesting, but it's not halacha lamaisa. It's not practical halacha. Not worth our time discussing. To which the Gemara says, no, it's important because pshat in the pasuk, meaning that when you get to the pesukim and you read the pesukim, you have to understand what you're learning. And so you're right. It's historical, but it's part of the pesukim. It's part of Torah. So therefore, there's a kiyum in Talmud Torah and understanding what is the correct order. That's basically what we've seen over the course of the weekend, over yesterday, and we're continuing. So first thing we're going to be doing today is finishing up trying to understand the pesukim and the contradictory meanings that we get from the pesukim, and then afterwards we move on to today's daf Vav, and we discuss Tumas Beisel. Most of today's daf is dedicated to the topic of Tumas Beisel. In the meantime, however, let's take ourselves back to yesterday. So the Gemara says, "Ketzad hilbisham." So how do you dress him? I'm going back just a couple of lines. We're on daf Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. So lemizbar cry. So the Gemara says, we want to know what the pesukim means. So pligiba b'nei Rabbi Chiv, Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara brings down some achlokas amareim. Chan amar Aaron v'achar kach banav. So one says that first Moshe dressed Aaron and then he dressed his sons. V'chan amar Aaron v'anav b'vasachas. And the other one says, no, he dressed them at the same time. Gemara later on is going to ask the question, how are you dressing people at the same time? Five of them, they're five Kohanim. There's Aaron and his four sons, and you're dressing them at the same time. How exactly does that work? The Gemara later on will ask that question. We'll try to get an understanding. Amar Abaye, b'ktonus, mitznefes, kuli amlo, pligi, darin, v'achar kach banav. So Abaye says, let me try to sharpen the machlokas over here. When it comes to the ketanis and mitznafis, ketanis is the long tunic that's worn by the kohanim. Mitznafis is the hat. So when it comes to ketanis and mitznafis, we're all in agreement that Aaron was dressed first and then afterwards the son. The bein b'tzava, bein b'asi Aaron kadim. Because if you look both in the tzava, where the Torah commands the miluim, that's in Parshas Tetzave. After going through the big day kahuna, then the Torah goes through the actual instruction of here's how miluim will be done. And then there's the actual asiyah, meaning then we actually see the malum done, and that's in Parsha Tzav. I told you, the Tzav is just the name of the Parsha. Meaning, but the actual asiyah, the performance is in Tzav. So if you look in both places, and you'll see the Pesukim say very clearly, that when it comes to the Halbasha, the dressing of Aaron and his sons for the Ketonis and the Mitznafis, there's nothing to argue. First Aaron, then his sons. Ki pligi bav Nate. So the confusion lies in the by the belt. So if you're arguing that Aaron was belted first and then the sons were belted afterwards, well, it's a good argument because you have a pasuk supporting you. So first Aaron, then his sons. Now, if you want to argue that they were belted at the same time, you're also in good shape because the pasuk says dichsiv v'chagarta osam. They were belted. So the first pasuk that we quoted, by the way, was in Parsha Tzav. This pasuk is Parshas Titzave. So, huh? Right. Correct. Well, one's instruction, the other is nasiya. So okay. So anyway, ulaman da'amar. So fine. So in other words, it's a machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Truth of the matter is, it's a machlokus amongst the Pesukim. But the Pesukim are arguing in terms of how they were belted, whether they were belted first Aaron and then his sons, or they were all belted simultaneously. Okay, so the Gemara is going to try to explain. So again, we're doing all this, why? Because Lemizbar Kara. Because we just want to understand the Pesukim. We just want to know what's the correct Pesha in the Pesuk. So let's say you're of the camp that they were belted all at the same time. So how are you going to understand Pshan those Psukim? First Aaron and then his sons. If you're of the camp, if you're of the thinking that they were all belted simultaneously, we're on the very top of Vavam and Aleph. The Torah is telling us that the belt of Aaron HaKohen is not the same as the belt of the other Kohanim, of what we will call Kohen Hedjo. Kohen Hedjo just simply means simple Kohanim, not the same. What's going on over here? What does that mean? It's not the same belt. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi goes through and gives us the necessary background information so that we understand. Top Rashi and Vav and Aleph, Rashi writes, Klamar, La'olam krad tzavah dafka bavasachas, meaning, go to the Parsha Tzitzaveh, where they said that they were belted simultaneously. That's what was done. They were belted simultaneously. Uve'asiyah de'palgin l'lamdenu, and now when you go to Parsha Tzav, that's the asiyah, and it's dividing Aaron from his sons, not because they were belted at different points. They weren't. They were belted simultaneously. But lelamdenu basha enav neitim shavim. But it's coming to teach us that the belts are not the same. Shenemar ben masayev neshal kohen gadol v'esav neit sheish mazar tcheles v'argaman. Because when the Torah describes the belt of the kohen gadol, the Torah tells us its composition. It's made up of sheish and mazar and tcheles and argaman. L'manushul shall climb. And now if you put those fabrics together, so you'll come to the conclusion, the correct conclusion, that the belt of Aaron Kohen Gadol was made up of Kalayim. Deshesh Kitna, because Rashi explains, because we know that Shesh is linen, Utchelis Amra, and Tchelis always. Now, Shesh and Tchelis, by the way, are colors, but there's always an assumption that they're colored of a certain fabric. Shesh is linen. Tchelis, which is blue, but it's blue wool. Tchelis is Amra. V'avneit habanim lo pirsha kasav. Now that we know is Aaron HaKohen's belt. So we know that his belt is made up of kalayim. Now what about the belts of the other Kohanim? The Torah never says. The Torah never gives us the composition of the other belts worn by Stam Kohanim. Lo pirsha kasav mi mahayu. V'ashmin an hacha. So now we have the psukim by the meluim, and they're going to be revelatory. The psukim will tell us, not outright, but just by separating Aaron and his belt and the sons and their belt, so the Torah now is intimating to us that they're not the same belt. So hachadav netzah shel kohen gadol lo zuav netzah shel kohen hedjo shezesh shel kolayim v'zesh shel butz. As far as the kohen gadol's belt is concerned, kolayim. As far as the belt of the other kohanim, butz. linen. Okay, that is, if you're of the camp that they were all belted simultaneously, so then why in the Asiya are they separate to tell us a halacha about the composition of the belts, and that the belt of the Kohen Gadol is Kalaim, that the Torah says Beferish, and the belts of the other Kohanim are only linen, not Kalaim. Ulaman damar, back to the Gemara now. Ulaman damar and vachakach banav. So now let's go to the other camp. So let's say you're of the camp that first Aaron and then his sons. So that was the order. So then vachaksi vachagata osam avneit. So then what are you going to do with the pasuk that says that they were all belted simultaneously? So he'll arrive at the other conclusion, which is that it's the same belt. Meaning, in terms of how it was done, Aaron was belted first and the sons were belted. In terms of composition of the belt, they're all the same belt. That's what the Torah is trying to tell us. And so therefore, what is the Torah telling me in terms of Oso versus Osam? It's telling me first Aaron, then his sons. Period. I mean, not period yet, but good. All right, so that's basically it. So in other words, you are now have two camps in terms of how to understand the discrepancy between the Pesukim. One Pesuk says first Aaron, then the sons. Another Pesuk says they're all belted simultaneously. Either you're going to say that in the Asiya and the way it was done, Aaron, then his sons. The other Pesuk is talking about the composition, meaning it was an equal composition belt. Or you go the other direction, that no, Aaron and his sons were belted simultaneously, and the fact that the Torah divides tells us that Aaron's belt, the Kohen Gadol's belt, was made up of shatnez, and everyone else's belt is just linen. Okay. Now the Gemara asks a simple question. To this we're going to end the sugya. Uvevas echas mimishkachala. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're talking about, there's a camp of thought that we're going to belt them all simultaneously. Moshe himself is going to belt them all simultaneously, to which the Gemara says, how do you do that? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, L'tzricha d'akdim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what was going on over here is you were akdim in terms of sequence. Now what exactly does that mean? So take a look at Rashi. L'tzricha d'akdim. So Rashi explains. L'bevas achas mamish kamar. So to say that Moshe was able to belt all five sons together simultaneously, it's impossible. Elazer chazem. So, in other words, even in this camp of thought, where they were belted all simultaneously, it just simply means one after another. Ava b'seder echad hayu, v'lo hifzik beged acher bein time. Well, all it means is, explains Rashi, is that the only thing left to do was to just simply put on the belt. And there was no other separation. So, beged acher bein time, hil bishal aron kol begadav, v'lo chiger oso avnei. So, in other words, it went like this, says Rashi. First Aaron was dressed head to toe, with exception to the belt. And then he went to the sons and he dressed them in the three begadim. And then he took the belt and he belted them all. So that's what it means when he says they belted simultaneously. Of course you can't belt five people at the same time. What it simply means is that there was nothing left but the belt. If you're of the other camp, says Rashi, so here's what you'll do. You'll first dress Aaron head to toe, belt included. Then you'll go to Aaron and son, then you go to his sons, and you'll dress them head to toe, belt included. Comes out then, says Rashi, that really Aaron was dressed first. Meaning that's even after all said and done, even though we just seen the machlokas for the end of yesterday, in the beginning of today, all that's true. But when all said and done, Aaron was dressed first. It's only just a question of were the belts saved for last? That's the Bas Achas group. Or no, was Aaron dressed head to toe, belt included? Then the sons were dressed head to toe, belt included. That's the Ze Achar Ze group. Adkan. Okay, that takes us to the end of this sugya. And now we begin with what is today's main sugya, and that is Tumas Beso.
So, the one on the owner, according to one on the owner that says that they have the same avnei,
right?
The Kohen Gadol was definitely shatnez.
Right, that the Torah says Beferish.
So therefore the Kohen Hedyot, although all their other clothes were pure linen, the avnei was in shatnez.
Correct. According to one Mahadamer. That's right. That would be correct. Okay, and then just there's a kusuf, meaning right. Torah says, and under these circumstances, you put chutneys on. All right, we are starting with today's main topic, and that is Tumas Beiso. Okay, we said that in the that we learned from the Mishnah, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mi Beiso. We take him away from his house. Now we know Beiso is not a reference to his house; it's a reference to his wife, meaning that there's a separation of the Kohen Gadol from his wife for 7 days, to which. The Gemara now is going to be discussing. Now, we already got a glimpse of this Gemara earlier in the Masechta. If you go to the very top of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, so the first two words of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph is L'tumas Beiso, meaning that the reason why there's 7 days of Hefresh, of separation from husband and wife, is because of the possibility of Tumas Beiso. But the Gemara didn't really explain much over there. Now, today's Daf, the Gemara will explain this in great detail. So Mafrishin, so let's I'll do it via the Gemara. So Mafrishin Kohen Gadol, Lama Mafrishin. So the Gemara says, why is the Kohen separate? Now, this classic Gemara, the Gemara doesn't understand its own question, or at least, in other words, in the Gemara gives us like a little bit of a glimpse into the give and take that takes place in the Beis Medrash. So in the Beis Medrash one, the question was initially raised, why is it separated? So the Gemara says, have you been listening to the Daf for the last 5 days? Meaning, that's been our topic of discussion. Why is the Kohen separated? You're right, so the Gemara says, we know this. So, Lama Mafrishin Kedek Amrinan. Ela Rav Yochan Kedias Lei, Lerish Lakish Kedias Lei. So the Gemara says, you have Rav Yochan, you have Rish Lakish. In other words, you have the last 5 days of the Daf. So you want to know why the Kohen is separated, so just review since everything that we've done since day one. Good. That's not our question, right? The new topic of discussion. Hachi Kamer, Mi Beiso Lama Pirish. The Gemara wants to know, why separate from his wife? Meaning, okay, so there has to be a fresh, there has to be a sequestering of the Kohen Gadol. But can't his wife join him? Now, let's just discuss briefly, can't his wife join him? What kind of suggestion are we making over here? Is that simply he'll be sequestered, but together with his wife? That's a little bit strange, notes Rashi, because where's the Kohen Gadol right now? Kohen Gadol is in the Lishkas Parhedrin. Well, that's what the Mishnah told us. And where is the Lishkas Parhedrin? So we pointed out that it's in the Azara. It's in the temple courtyard. So Rashi points out now that all this is going to be a little bit strange, what the Gemara is suggesting right now, because, first of all, you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. These are all points that the Gemara does not make. But Rashi says we have to just address them. You can't sit in the Azara. The only one who can sit in the Azara is only Malchus Beis David. Right? And then, if the Gemara is suggesting that his wife be introduced to him, to the Kohen Gadol, in the Lishkas Parhedrin, so in other words, what the Gemara is suggesting is that they're going to live together, husband and wife. Well, that's even stranger, because then he'll become a Balkari. Balkari can't be in the Azara. Balkari is prohibited from being in the Azara. Truth of the matter is, Balkari can't be in Har Bayis as well. Okay, so these are all serious issues. So Rashi makes the following suggestion. Take a look at Rashi. Mi beis olam epirish, mi ishto olam epirish. Tavo ishto imo. Sham share al karchach lishkas parhezgen lo haisa kedusha. So Rashi therefore arrives at the following conclusion. It did not have kedusha. Lishkas parhezgen did not have kedusha. Meaning that geographically it may be in the Azara, but status-wise, it did not have kedusha. Shein yeshiva bazar el amachah beis David kol shekein shechiva. In other words, and what the Gemara here is suggesting, meaning even before we talk about his wife being there and him being a balkari, meaning the Gemara Rashi just simply points out, you really expect the Kohen to stand for 7 straight days? Meaning that in of itself is impossible. So, and we're talking about the Kohen lying down. He can't even sit in the Azara. So therefore, Rashi arrives at the conclusion that the Lishka simply had no kedusha. So Tosfos, let's continue this discussion and let's continue this thought and let's go to Tosfos. Second Tosfos on the Amud. Mi beit olam perish. Tosfos says perish Rashi tavo ishto imo sham shal akarchach lishkas parhedrin la hitzak kedusha shein yeshiva ba'azara koshken shchiva. So first Tosfos quotes Rashi, good. It didn't have kedusha. Didn't have kedusha as a zara. Otherwise, the Kohen Gadol couldn't sit for 7 days, and that's just an impossible conclusion. The Kashulan. So Tosfos says, okay, but let's just go one step further. Tosfos says, okay, so it didn't have Kedushas Azara. So let's move it out just one step. So out of Kedushas Harabais. That also becomes problematic. Because we know that if we're going to say that as Kedushas Harabais, So that has the same status as Machane Levia. It is Machane Levia. Ubalkari ain't a Rashai Likanis by Machane Levia. And we know that a Balkari cannot be a Machane Levia. Damar Bepsachim Beberg Elo Dvarim, Zavachol Zav, the Rabbis Balkari. We just went through the Sugya together in Psachim that a Balkari cannot be in Har Abayis. And again, when the Gemara is suggesting that his wife be with him in during those 7 days of Hafrasha, the Gemara is saying intimately, so therefore he's going to become a Balkari. So he can be a Balkari in the Har Abayis. So Ella Yesh Lafarish, so even according to Rashi, now it could be that this is what Rashi means also, could be, but in other words, but the Tosfos is just spelling it out. So what do we have to say? Ella Yesh Lafarish, mi beiso, lama pir, shavala lamemar, shafishu lemechila achas barabai, samar beperke tzolin, de mechila solnis kachim. So therefore, what the Gemara is suggesting now is that he not be in a place of any Kedusha. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim talks about the underground caves. Right, that even though there's a Kedusha to the Azara, Kedusha to Har Abayis, and also Kedusha to Yerushalayim, that's only the ground level. But if you go underground, or as we discussed back in Pesachim, or if you go above ground, let's say you're on the second floor, or on the third floor, so that does not have the Kedusha. So Tosfos is just simply pointing out that what our Gemara is suggesting over here is that the Kohen be with his wife in Har Abayis area, or we can even go further, we can say even in Azara, but in an underground cave, so that way it has no Kedusha. It doesn't have Kedushas Azara, nor does it have Kedushas Har Abayis. Okay. So anyway, this is what the Gemara is suggesting. Why separate him from his wife? That's essentially what the Gemara is asking. So Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezer, Omer, Shema Timsa, Ishto, Safik Nida, V'yavo Alaham. So the Gemara says, well, his wife may be a Nida, and he may have relations with his wife while she's a Nida. That will make him Tame. That will make him what's called a Bo'al Nida, and he'll be Tame. So the Gemara says, can we slow down for just a moment? Not to Bereshia Askinan, meaning Kohen Gadol. His wife's a Nida. He's going to have relations with his wife. No, he won't. We're talking about a Kohen Gadol. So we're not, we're not going to assume the Kohen Gadol is a Rasha. Now the Kohen Gadol by the Second Temple, we'll talk more about it in this Masechta. So they were not the most scrupulous of people. But nevertheless, we're talking about B.S. Nida. So there's... It's not even a fair assumption to assume that they're ever going to have relations with their wife while she's a Nida. Ella. So the Gemara immediately retracts from that suggestion. The Gemara says, Shema Yavol Ishto V'Timsa Safek Nida. So the Gemara says, you're right. Of course you're right about that. But the possibility does exist where, while having relations with his wife while she's a Nida, she will be Paris Nida during Bia. And it comes out now that he's going to be a Bo'al Nida. Not by design, not because he's bemazed, but simply b'shogeg. The result will be, he'll be Tameh for 7 days. He will be a Bo'al Nida. Okay, now, let's now pause in the Gemara and let's give a little bit of background information. Let's remind ourselves what we know and what we learned together back in Masechta Nida. Almost 2 years ago now. No, not 2 years ago. It's just a year and a half. That's all. So let's remind each other. Okay. When a woman is Paris Nida, so how much earlier do we assume that she was a Nida? Meaning the moment that she sees any type of discharge of blood. So do we move the clock any earlier? So generally speaking, we say no. A woman has a chazaka. Meaning a woman is in a state of cheskas tahara until she actually is Paris Nida, until she actually sees a discharge of blood. But prior to that, though, there's assumption that there is no, that she was not in Nida. Okay? And the first sugi of Masechta Nida, the machlok is between Shammai and Hillel, about whether we say Dayan Shaitan or we go back, so that's fine. So that was the first sugi that we saw together in Masechta Nida. But just making a long story a little bit shorter, not much shorter, but a little bit shorter, so basically here's the conclusion. The conclusion is that, generally speaking, a woman, when she's Paris Nida, is a Nida from that point going forward. Min HaTorah, not anywhere backwards. However, the Chachamim instituted a Gzera D'Rabbanan that 24 hours prior to her viewing her discharge of blood, so anything that she touches 24 hours previously is going to be Tame. This is what's called Tumas Me'eis La'eis. Now, that Tumas Me'eis La'eis is only a Tumah D'Rabbanan, it's not a Tumah D'Araisa. It will not mean that if, let's say, she had relations with her husband 12 hours prior to a Paris Nida, is he going to be a Bo'al Nida? No, he will not be a Bo'al Nida. In other words, we're going to assume that she was not a Nida then, she's only a Nida from this point going forward. It's just that anything that she touches in those last 24 hours will be Tamei through Maga, through what is contact. But in other words, but we will not assume that the husband is an actual Bo'al Nida if he had relations in those last 24 hours. Fine. That's a starting point of the discussion. Fine. Now, if a woman, let's say, is parasita during relations, so there's no way to really know that. The point of discovery is always going to be after relations. The Gemara in Nida says that basically we could talk about three different points after relations. The first is what's called, the Gemara refers to as osiom. Osiom is a Greek word. I don't know Greek, but I do know that osiom means immediately after. Meaning, if that she does an examination, an internal examination, immediately after Bia has been finished, so then the assumption is that we know she's Anita now, but the assumption is she was Anita during Bia as well. If she does an examination osiom, and by the way, the Gemara and the Mishnayos actually Anita talk about how, especially when both husband and wife are engaged in handling Tumah Tahara, so they would both do an examination after Bia to make sure that neither she nor he is Tame. She's Tameya, he being Tame. So if she does an examination osiom and she discovers blood on the examination cloth, so obviously she's an Ida, he's considered to be a Baal Nida. It's viewed as if she was an Ida during the relations itself. Okay, that's time period number one. Let's say now she doesn't do the examination immediately, but she waits a moment. So this is what we're going to call, just in our parlance, this is what's called Acher Zman, a little bit after the Bia. So then, unclear as to whether or not the husband's considered a Baal Nida. Because it could be, it's possible, that she was Paris Nida not during the Bia, but she was Paris Nida after. Because there was a little lag in time between the end of the Bia and her examination, so it's possible that she was Paris Nida afterwards. Is he considered a Baal Nida if she does this examination during this period of what's called Acher Zman? That's subject to a machlokus between the Tanayim in the Gemara in Nida. It's a machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva's machmir and the Chachamim are mekel. So the Gemara then, let's go over one more time period. Let's say it's Acher Zman. Let's say she goes one period longer. So let's say she does an examination, not in this Acher Zman period, but Acher Zman. So then what's the conclusion? Everyone's in agreement that we're going to say that she was Paris Nida after the Bia, not during the Bia, and therefore the husband is not going to be considered a Baal Nida. So far so good? Well, in other words, for you and I, the answer of course would be yes. But in other words, you have to understand, these examinations were done just to make sure that their Taharos were still Tahor. Meaning in terms of if all that was we were concerned about is whether he was Baal Nida or not, so no examination would be done. In fact, it would probably be we would avoid it. But because they wanted to know whether their taharas were tahor, so that's the reason why they did the examination. So to say it's better or not better, it's not really germane to our discussion over here, because they were doing it for the purposes of taharas, not to know of, you know, did I have relations with Anita, did I not. That isn't good information to know. It's preferable not to know that information. And again, what we're not discussing, which is a separate discussion, is to anticipate her being Anita. We're not even broaching that subject. Meaning, we just want to know: did he have relations with Anita? Yes or no? So again, three time periods after the Bia in which she did an examination. Osiom, assumption is she was post Anita during Bia. Acher Zman, machlokus. Acher Zman, right? Two time periods later. So then the Gemara says, no machlokis, everyone's in agreement, he is not a Baal Nida. Now, granted that she obviously touched him in the last 24 hours from the time that she was Paras Nida, fine. So in terms of Maga, so yes, he touched Anita. But in terms of being a Baal Nida, he's not a Baal Nida. Now, we've been using this term a number of times already, Baal Nida. What does that mean, practically speaking? Practically speaking, a man who's a Baal Nida is tummy for 7 days. In fact, the Torah says, Vatihi Nida Sa'alav. Her Nida status gets transferred to him. So that, just like a Nida's tummy for Tameya for 7 days, he, the Baal Nida, will also be Tameh for 7 days. So now that we know all this, so basically now good. So we now have an understanding of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that he's sequestered for 7 days, good. either Reish Lakish or Rav Yochanan. But the fact that we take the wife away from him, that's because of the possibility that he was Baal Nida. Because of an examination after the Bia may in fact lead us to the conclusion that he was a Baal Nida, and he will be tummy for 7 days, and obviously that would disqualify him from doing the Avoda, Avodas Yom HaKippurim. So therefore, 7 days away from his wife, so that by the time you get to the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, even if he was Baal Nida, by that point in time he'll be Tahor.
Why can't we argue that since he has a mitzvah puru constantly, whereas this Baal Nida is a rare occurrence,
right?
That doesn't supersede
right.
That.
So I won't address the question directly, but in an indirect fashion, we will attack this question. The Gemara, okay, wait on that question. It's a good question. So the Timsa something Nida Amur Rav Anakam and Rav Chista Kaman Karabi Akiva. So the Gemara says, well, wait, what is second? Are you assuming like Rabbi Akiva? Damanida Matamis Baalah, Di Rabban Hamri, and Nida Matamis Baalah? Because you know there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Now it's interesting to note, yes, there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, but when? That's only in the Achar Zman period. That's only in that. And that little time delay when examination was done. So there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. And the Gemara says, are you telling me they were going like Rabbi Akiva? The more machmir shita? To wish amalu Rav Chista, filo temer Rabban, alakam lo pligi Rabban, ala de Rabbi Akiva, ala ba'achar zman. Ala ba'achar. Ava b'chad achar mo delay. So the Gemara says, yeah, there's a machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, but that's only in the Acher Acher. But if it's Chad Acher, so then there's an agreement between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. Okay, so in other words, the Gemara, you see what's happening in the Gemara over here? The Gemara is assuming, well, they didn't do an examination right away, did they? To which the Gemara says, no, the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is only in this Acher Acher period, but in the Acher period, everyone's in agreement that he's a Baal Nida. So it's like, you see from the Gemara that this idea that the chances of all this happening are so slim, so small, meaning and the chances of discovery of her being Anida, even in this Achar Zman period, is so small, the Gemara never even at first didn't even anticipate that there would be any blood discovered. If anything, it's only going to be in this Achar Achar period, to which the Gemara says, no, we're going to even entertain the notion that there was Dam discovered even in the Achar period. Okay. Amar Rebbe Zera. Okay, so period. So that's the end of that discussion over there. Not the end, but in other words, it ends us off from part one of the discussion. Why separate him from his wife? Answer, she may be Paris Nida during Bia. He then, the discovery afterwards will result in the fact that he is in fact a Baal Nida. He's going to be tummy for 7 days. And so therefore separate him from his wife for 7 days in order to make sure that when he goes into the Avodah Yom Kippur, he'll be tahor. Amar Rebbe Zera Shmamina, Baal Nida Eina Kenida V'Tova B'Yom. Now, to which the Gemara is going to segue for the rest of today's daf into a Tumah and Tahara discussion. And basically, our topic of discussion is going to be like this. If we are entertaining the idea that the Kohen Gadol may be a Baal Nida, and that's why he has to separate from his wife for 7 days. So basically, this idea of Baal Nida, is a Baal Nida like a Nida actual? Meaning, obviously, one's a man, the other's a woman. But the Torah says that if a man has relations with a woman while she's a Nida, vatihi Nida sa'alav. Her Nida gets transferred to him. So a Nida's tummy for 7 days, he's tummy for 7 days. Okay? All the rules and regulations of Nida are going to transfer over to him. That's basically going to be the question of the Gemara that the Gemara is going to entertain now for basically the rest of today's daf. So Baal Nida Einu Kenida V'Tova B'Yom. So the Gemara says, first of all, I can already see one basic difference between a Nida and a Baal Nida. Now, what do we know by a Nida? A Nida is Tameah for 7 days, and she tovels in the mikveh, and then she can go back to her husband. Min HaTorah, right? What we do is that nowadays is that we are worried about the possibility that she's not a Nida, but she's a Zava. Okay, on another occasion, I'll explain the difference. We've gone through this already a number of times, but that's what we assume nowadays. But Min HaTorah, a woman who's a Nida, and she knows she's just a Nida, so she is a Nida for 7 days, with or without bleeding. She doesn't have to bleed during all those 7 days. And then at the end of the 7 days, she tovels in the mikvah. When does she tovel in the mikvah? The night after the seventh day. One of the unique instances in the world of Tumah Tahara where tefillah is done at night, not during the day. So the Gemara says now, a Baal Nida. The man who has relations with the Nida. Right? When is he tov in the mikvah? Well, the Gemara says, look, I'm not sure, but now that you've contextualized our entire discussion of the Kohen Gadol as the possibility that maybe it's a Bal Nida, oh, now I know. Tov is during the day, not at night. Why? Because think about it. Because there's a hafresh of 7 days from his wife. So if he's mafresh 7 days, so when is he going to be toveling in the mikvah? Let's say he is a Bal Nida. Again, well, he's not. But if the whole concern is built around the idea that he's a Bal Nida, so then when is he toveling in the mikvah, if he were a Bal Nida? Well, it can't be the night after the seventh day. What's that called? That's called Lel Yom Kippur. Now, what's wrong with toveling on Lel Yom Kippur? Nothing in of itself. It's just that won't get rid of his tumah. To get rid of tumah, what do you need? You need two things. You need tefillah and you need Erev Shemesh. You need sunsetting. When's the next time the sun is going to set on him? Right? That would be called Ne'ilah. So he will have gone through the entire day of Yom Kippur being in a state of tumah. Or at least being a tful yom. Which you can't do the avodah as a tful yom. So it must be, concludes the Gemara, that even though you're a Bal Nida, and even though you have Nida status, but not exactly, Nida Tovels at night, must be the Bal Nida Tovels during the day. D'i Amar, because here's the Gemara making the argument. D'i Amar, Bal Nida Kenida, he must feel Balayla, Lamacha Hechid Avid Avoda, Vahabai Herav Shemesh. Don't you need Herav Shemesh? Say, Allah Shemamina, Bal Nida, Eno Kenida. So, good. So what the Gemara is trying to conclude now is that even though a Bal Nida is a Nida, but not exactly, small difference in that the Nida Tovels has to wait until the night after the seventh day, while a Bal Nida can Tovel on the seventh day itself. So the Gemara says, look, if all the evidence we have is our Mishnah, it's not conclusive evidence, because here's what we could suggest. 7 days of Afrasha, but you know what? Why don't you start a little bit earlier? Meaning that the Kohen Gadol could be sequestered not at the night of the first day, but in other words, a little bit before the night.
Before
right? In fact, a little bit before sundown. And so now what you could do is you can count that as day one. Meaning if in the event he was a Bal Nida, now that will be day one, the day prior to the first day of Afrasha. And now we can count, and we'll be counting till when he gets to day seven. If he were a Bal Nida, that would actually have been day eight. So that means then that he could have toveled the night prior. Okay, so all you have is our Mishnah, and you want to know a Bal Nida, does he tova during the night like a Nida, or can he tova during the seventh day? If all you have is our Mishnah, you don't have enough evidence to conclude that a Bal Nida can tova during the day. Meisvei. The Gemara continues this discussion. Look, the general rule is that tefillah for somebody whose tummy is done during the day. And the exceptions are Nida Neyoledes. A Nida Neyoledes Tovel at night. Those are the exceptions. Gemara now makes a very simple reading of the Braisa. Nida in Bal Nida Lo. Nida can Tovel during the day, but a Bal Nida doesn't have to wait. I'm sorry. A Nida can Tovel at night, but a Bal Nida doesn't have to Tovel at night. He could Tovel during the day. So the Gemara says, no, that you don't have to read it that way. The Braisa could just simply mean Nida v'choda asi miribuye. And the Nida is a category. Nida means anyone who's under the Nida category tovels at night. So that would include, obviously, the Nida herself, but it will also include the Bal Nida, because categorically, the Bal Nida is a Nida. That's what the Torah says. Vatihi Nida sa alav. Gemara quotes another Braisa. The Braisa says that a Nida is, a Balkari is like a Magasheretz, that a man who has a seminal emission has the same degree of Tumah like a Magasheretz, someone who touches a Sheretz, and Bal Nida Kitame Meis. And a Bal Nida has the same status as Tumas Meis. Now, what do we know by Tumas Meis? He's Tumah for 7 days. But we also know regarding Tumas Meis, when does he Tovel on the Mikvah? On the seventh day. So, if the Braisa says that a Bal Nida is like a Tumas Meis, so just like the Tumas Meis Tovels on the seventh day, so does a Bal Nida. So, my love Litvila. So, which seems like this is excellent evidence to indicate that the Bal Nida Tovels during the day, during the seventh day, and does not have to wait till the night after. So, here it seems to be pretty good proof, pretty strong proof, that the Bal Nida is not exactly like the Nida. Whereas the Nida herself has to wait until the night after the seventh day. But the Baal Nida can tovel during the seventh day. So the Gemara says, it's good proof, but it's not, again, it's not conclusive. So, my love, l'tvila lo l'tumasan. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe it's talking about the duration of tuma, meaning that just like a tamei mace is tamei for 7 days, a Baal Nida is going to be tamei for 7 days. Maybe that's the only point that the Bryce is trying to make. So the Gemara says, tumasan be'ajik sivbu. That's the point that Bryce is trying to make. That's called a pasuk in Chumash. When the Torah describes Tumas Meis, the Torah says he's tummy for 7 days. When the Torah describes the Baal Nida, the Torah says he's tummy for 7 days. So I don't need a Braisa to tell me the duration of Tuma. I took him in Chumash. So when the Braisa is saying that a Tuma Meis is like a Baal Nida, or I should say the other way around, a Baal Nida is like a Tummy Meis, so it must be that the Braisa is talking about when they could tov on the mikvah, which means they could tov on the seventh day. We know Tamei Meis could tov on the seventh day. Baal Nida, same story. Ella, on the top of Avam and Beis, Ella Lav L'Tvila Sam. So the Gemara says it must be, it's in reference to the Tvila Lo. Va'olam Tuma Sam, the Gemara says, nope, let's go back to our first suggestion. It's talking about the duration. Now remember, the question was, I don't need a Braisa. There's a Pesukim and Chumash. So Sefer Tzrich Lei. Now the Gemara says it's the next part of the Braisa, which is what we need to see. Ela shechamor mimena baal nida shemetame mishkav amoshav betumakala letame ochlen umashkin. It's the next part of the Braisa where the Braisa is giving us a chiddush. You're right. In terms of duration, I don't need a Braisa. The Torah says that a tamei meis is tamei for 7 days, and a baal nida is tamei for 7 days. What the Braisa is coming to tell us is that there's still going to be a degree of separation between a tamei meis and a baal nida, and that's what's called mishkav v'moshav. Let's review what we've seen already a number of times. Zav zav anida yoledes. A woman, or for that matter a man, who has a tuma hayotze migufo. Right? The tumas is the result of a discharge and issuing from their body. So we know that they have a special transmission of tumah referred to as mishkav u'moshav, where if they sit or lie down on something that was meant to be sat on or lie down upon, that item becomes tumah to the same degree of tumah that they are. They're an avatumah. The chair they sit on, the bed they lie down on, are also going to be an avatumah. Okay, this is what's called mishkav u'moshav. And this is specific to zav zav nida yoledes. Now, when it comes to a baal nida, so once again, same basic issue. Her nida gets transferred over to him. So now, as a baal nida, does he also have mishkav u'moshav? That's what I need the braisa to tell me. The braisa comes coming to tell me that although a tamei meis is tamei for 7 days, tamei meis doesn't have mishkav u'moshav. There's no mishkav u'moshav by tamei meis. But when it comes to a baal nida, he'll be tamei for 7 days and he'll have Tumas Mishkav Moshav. Although, to be honest, as the Gemara here mentions, it's not exactly Mishkav Moshav. It's a lighter version of Mishkav Moshav. The Gemara says that the Braisa says that his Mishkav Moshav will only be Metame Tumakala Latame Ochlan Umashkin. It will give it a degree less. So that which he came into contact with, the chair that he sat on, the bed he lied down on, is not going to be an avatoma, which is metame kalim va'adam, but it's only going to be a vladatoma, which is only going to be metame ochlun umashkin. Why should that be? Meaning, if we think about it, it's a simple question we can ask.
Because he himself is like 1 degree.
Oh, so in other words, why? Yes, but Rashi gives a different explanation. So why should that be? Why should his Mishkav Moshav be a degree less than that of a Nida? If we're transferring her Nida status over to him, so shouldn't we argue that just like she is Mishkav Moshav, he's same Mishkav Moshav? So Rashi addresses that. Rashi raises that as an issue. Again, take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi writes, V'lola tamei adam v'kelem kishar kol oseh Mishkav Moshav. Second Rashi on the Amud. Kigon zav v'zav v'nida mitzara, shetumasam avatum, tamei adam v'kelem, avabol nida ksiv bay. So Rashi explains, the reason why a bol nida is just a small degree less is because of the pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says that anything he sits down on, anything he lies down on, is going to become tame. Now, why does the Torah need to tell us that? Meaning, if the Torah just simply would have said that her nida status gets transferred over to him, the bol nida, End of story. Meaning the Torah wouldn't have to say anything more. But the fact that the Torah then tells us that he sits down on something, he lies down on something, it becomes Tameh, Nitzko HaKosov, Mituma Chamura, Demishkav Nida, Atzma, Shematame Adam, Kidichsiv, Chosha, Yigab, Mishkava, Vihivi, Lituma Kala. That is the Torah basically saying there's going to be an adjustment. He will not be exactly like her. Her Mishkav Moshe will be Metame with Tuma Chamura. The chair, the bed are going to be an avatuma. He will give a modified Mishkav Moshav. So the Latame Ochlan Mashkin Dila Tuma Chamura Lishta Kramine. Rashi says, if it was Tuma Chamura, so then the Torah wouldn't have to say anything. Vani Adana de Mishkav Atame ke Mishkav Nida. Da Haksiva Tihi Nida Sa Alav. The Torah says their Nida transfers over to him. So if he had just simple Nida status, the Torah just simply would have said nothing. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say, oh, his Mishkav and Moshev is going to be Metameh, that's the Torah saying an adjusted form, a modified form of Mishkav and Moshev.
Isn't Yitma also more passive than Metameh? Like also that word?
Could be. It could be. But again, Rashi's argument is the fact that the Torah had to say anything. The Torah didn't have to say anything. Okay. Tashma. Back to the Gemara. Once again, the topic of discussion is the following. The Gemara has segued into a discussion of a Bol Nida. We know that he has Nida status. We know that he's tummy for 7 days. The Torah says so. The issue on the table is when does he tovel on the mikvah? So Nida has to wait until the night after the seventh day. That we know. So is the same thing going to be true by the Bol Nida? That's up for discussion. We try to conclude from our Mishnah, because we're talking about Hafasha for 7 days. And we know in order for the Kohen to become Tahor for the Avoda, he needs Tfilah and Harif Shemesh. Sounds like from our Mishnah that he could tovel during the day. The Gemara deflected the proof. We had a Braisa on the bottom of Vav and Aleph, which also indicates that he tovels during the day, because the Braisa says that he's like Tameh Meis. Tameh Meis tovels on during the seventh day. So should the Bol Nida. The Gemara deflected that proof as well. The Gemara brings a Braisa. Tashma. Ditni Rabbi Chia Azav Azav of Metzor V'Metzoras U Bol Nida. All right, the Gemara does this. This is the MO of the Gemara, where the Gemara has a lengthy discussion, trying to learn from a Mishnah, trying to learn from a Braisa, maybe yes, maybe no, proves, argues, and then the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says a Beferish. The Braisa says, you know, a Bol Nida, you know when he can tovel? He tovels during the day. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta. The Gemara says, okay. Well, that's a resounding conclusion. Okay. V'acha atam afrisha mitumas beis afrisha mitumas ames. Gemara now wonders, we'll finish off with this, and that is, okay, tumas beiso, understood. What about tumas meis? Meaning, isn't it possible that he's mitam tumas meis? Now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is not that maybe he came into contact with a meis prior to him being sequestered. But why not be concerned about the following? You're not bringing his wife in because they're going to be intimate with one another, and she may be a Nida during the intimacy, and he'll become a Bol Nida, and he'll need 7 days of Tuma, and he won't be able to do the Avoda. Okay, so that's why she's left out. But why any visitation? Meaning a friend coming and visiting him, right? And they're drinking a cup of coffee together, and he'll drop dead during the cup of coffee. Okay, so, okay, good. I heard you. I heard your thoughts, and fine. So the Gemara's answer is Tumas Meis Amar Rav Techliyah Vavu Deravuna Mishmei Derav Zosameres Tumas Meis Hutra Hibet Sibur. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it speaks to a big idea. Okay, a big idea that we saw back in Pesachim, and we get to discuss again today. Although the truth of the matter is, most of this discussion will take place tomorrow. I will leave this discussion off for tomorrow, but basically just to open the discussion, and then tomorrow we discuss in greater detail. Well, maybe so what? Meaning they have the cup of coffee, and his friend dies right there, right during the cup of coffee. Okay, so now he's Tamei Meis. It's okay, but now we're talking about a carbon seabor. The carbonos that are brought on Yom Kippur are carbon seabor. Now we'll talk tomorrow, because not all of them are carbon seabor. Some of the carbonos that are brought on Yom Kippur are personal carbonos that come straight from him. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. But right now, just to open the discussion, okay. So somebody dies, but he'll be tummy meis. Okay, but Toma Hutra B'tzibur. But we know that when you have a carbon tzibur that is kavuazman, that is a set time, and the majority of the Jewish people are tummy, in this case, it's not true. It's just a Kohen Gadol. But that's enough. In other words, as right, we learned back in Pesachim, if the majority of the Kohanim are tummy, well then we'll say Toma Hutra. Here, the Kohen Gadol, who's the one who's going to be doing the Avodah Yom Kippur, that'll be enough. So maybe what the Gemara is suggesting is that even if somebody dies, it's okay. Tumah hutra b'tzibur, the tumah is allowed. Okay, this will segue into tomorrow's daf. This really is tomorrow's daf in terms of the topic of discussion. Okay, quick review. We saw today the belts of Aaron a Kohen versus the Kohen Gadol versus the belts of the other Kohanim. Maybe it's the same composition, maybe not. Comes out to be a machlokas. Question, why can he not be with his wife during those 7 days? Answer, possibly he may become a Bol Nida, not by design. God forbid, the Gemara says he's not a Rasha, but his wife may end up becoming a Paris Nida during the Bia. Discovery will be afterwards. He'll be a Bol Nida, he'll need 7 days of Hafrasha. He'll be tummy for 7 days, which would preclude him from doing the Avoda, and that's why he has to be separated from his wife. Tomorrow's discussion, which we started today, well, why not worry about Tumas Mace? So that question will really be addressed tomorrow.